You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I spoke to Waipapa Tomasaro academic John Fennerty and Inside Out board member Afi Marshall on the Disinformation Project's latest report on rising transphobia in far-right circles. I confirm that the Disinformation Project report lines up with data previously collected in other surveys, including the Identify survey, as well as the experience of trans and takatāpui people like Afi. Today, I got a chance to speak to Kate Hannah, director of the Disinformation Project, on what she found writing and sharing the report. Here is that interview.
What was your experience like gathering the information for the report?
We've been looking at disinformation communities in Aotearoa, New Zealand, since the beginning of the pandemic. And one of the features of that time period has been the escalation of language of violence and of hate within those disinformation communities. But prior to the time period that we're talking about, where we're looking at the report on the increase in transphobia and queerphobia more broadly, a lot of that hate and violence have been articulated towards individuals and groups of individuals who are seen to represent elements of New Zealand's COVID-19 response. And in many cases, a lot of those individuals and groups of individuals are people who have got quite high public profiles, might actually have security protection and details because they are, for example, members of parliament. And one of the things that was really clear as we looked at, reviewed our data over the time period of March to April, after or prior to and after the visit of Parker to Aotearoa, was that the groups that were now being targeted were large groups of our community and people who don't have access to protection. And that's been quite a confronting thing to see as researchers.
The findings are pretty dark. Do you think they signal safety risks for our trans community?
We've been calling the types of language and expression that we've seen within these communities dangerous speech, which is a categorisation that's an internationally recognised categorisation, for many months prior even to now. And they do reflect, we believe, a significant risk to really vulnerable and marginalised community members, particularly given there's sort of, as well as this really extreme expression, there are, I guess, what you would call dog whistle expressions of just asking questions about issues related to our trans community. And so this speaks into a broader socio-cultural space where people feel more emboldened to question these issues and create a sense of an other. So it is really concerning to us that this is taking place.
And the backlash from transphobes on all levels, including Posy Parker, to the report has been enormous. And firstly, I hope everyone at the Disinformation Project is okay, but why do you think this report has gotten such a vitriol reaction?
Well, obviously it's because we are trying to name the clear signals towards issues of white supremacism, fascism, neo-Nazism, and that also the report describes in quite a lot of detail some technical methods that have been used internationally to implant ideas into communities. And in pointing those things out, we create, I guess, a risk for those communities who want to continue to promote transphobia, that people will become clued in to what's going on. But also there is a huge backlash internationally speaking about in a support of trans rights, and that silencing effect of the kind of targeting and harassment internationally that the Disinformation Project has experienced since publishing the report is one of the things that we really also want to point out, that unless we can safely talk about research findings, we are unable to properly understand what's going on. And, you know, I'm a cis Pākehā woman. It's okay, I guess I just have to take this one because it's my responsibility.
What should people's key takeaways from this report be?
So there's two things that are really critical. So obviously, most importantly, we looked at our data in order to understand where the claims that trans and queer communities were making post-Posey Parker around an escalation of harassment and violence were true. And looking just at our data set, we were able to establish that, yes, very clearly there has been an escalation in both the amount of articulated violence towards trans and queer communities and an escalation in the tone, so that the level of hatred, the level of harassment, the level of violence. So that is absolutely clear. And that's simply looking at our data set, which only, as I said, is the communities who 3 years ago were discussing COVID-19 as if it was a myth. So beyond our data is even more data that could be collected by other people, and which is also built up by lived experience of queer and trans community members. But the second thing is a longer term issue, and that is what I spoke about before, those techniques and tools that have been used internationally, potentially by international and foreign influences, to change the types of conversations and the ways in which we have conversations here in Aotearoa New Zealand. And so those are really, again, really concerning signals for the broader socio-political and cultural discourse here, because they normalise a set of groupthink, they normalise allowing people with extreme right-wing, far-right-wing, fascist, neo-Nazi views to be cohabitators of a political space, and allowing language which alludes to genocide to be normalised in political discourse. And so those two things are the really key takeaways from this report.
That was Kate Hannah on the Disinformation Project's latest report on transphobia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.